pleases Rusty to see your support and have your support. And I know he does have your support and your prayers and your thoughts. He is a tender-hearted guy, and I know that knowing that you're thinking of him and praying for him means a whole lot. So I know he has sought the Lord, and I also know that he's a little bit nervous, but it won't make a bit of difference. I know the Lord's going to be with him, and he's going to deliver that message that the Lord placed there. Brother Rushy.
Thank you, Steve. I don't know if I should be scared or worried because I'm not as nervous as usual tonight. Or maybe it's a good blessing, a great blessing. Then again, it could come on at any time. We've recently had several sermons that to me, or the message that I've gotten out of the last few sermons, has been about us, the body of Christ, about those who are here every Sunday. We're wavering a little bit. I've seen that message and started with Jeff, with Steve, with Larry. And each one had more to their message that they brought. But I hope tonight that what I have doesn't offend anyone. It shouldn't. Going to go ahead and start here with a very familiar scripture. We're going to start in the second chapter of Mosiah, starting at the 13th verse. Believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge and of the glory of God, or if ye have known of the goodness and have tasted of His love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. Verse 15 says, man cannot comprehend all things God can. Right? I truly don't believe that if God opened up and poured on me the knowledge He has, I know I couldn't handle it. But it doesn't say man cannot comprehend all things God tells you or gives you. Do you all believe that God only gives you what you can handle? Yeah, I do. I do. That's what that says. That's what it's saying. We're not God. We're not God. We can't take... Who could create the wonders that we see every day? Not one of us. verses 16 and 17. Accountability. If you know what's right, do it. There's no age limit. There's no age limit to doing what God has commanded you. Verses 18 through 20. We are human. We are flawed, weak. But all of us here have been blessed by God's grace and cannot forget or give up just because of our flaws. We're all flawed. I'm flawed. I'm weak. I err. We're human. That's what that says in the 20th verse. It sounds harsh. When King Benjamin said that, I'm sure there was someone that was offended when they were called nothingness. But in comparison to God, in comparison to anything God created, we're not perfect. Far from it. Jump over to the Bible. Let's go to James chapter 4. Starting here at the 5th verse. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Envy, jealousy, one of another. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's true. It's true. How many of you are tormented? Larry, you just said today in your sermon this morning that the adversary was on you. Who here can say that the adversary isn't poking at you every day? What do you do? Do you ignore him? Do you give in to him? What do? You call on God? And if you do, what happens? He flees from you. I wake in the night with my adversary tormenting me. And I immediately go to prayer. And I'm relieved. And I return to sleep. Ever happened to you? Maybe you've been at work. You're somewhere. It happens to all of us. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God wants us to be responsible for ourselves. We have to draw near to God. Just because you come here and sit in these pews does not mean you're near God. When this says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We have to be responsible for our own selves first. We have a love for others who aren't here. We want them here. But we have to be cleansed. We have to be right. Before we can say, you should be here. You should do this. Jesus came so we would have that freedom to choose. You all have the freedom to choose right and wrong. You all have the freedom to choose to be here or not to be here. and so do they. There's nothing worse than someone you love and wanting something for them so great that you would take away from your soul salvation to save theirs, right? If we're weak and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we're pointing a finger, and who is it? Andy, who always says, when you point at somebody or something, remember there's three pointing back at you. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you're just here waiting for God to bless you, and you're not taking the steps to draw near to God, you grow dormant and you'll be the branch taken away. John 15:2 also says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth fruit, more fruit. Your willingness to make the effort always. Your willingness to make the effort always doesn't go unnoticed. That's what God wants. He wants to see you making that effort to be right for yourself. Your life has to be right. That light that we heard about, that one light, that's in you. Libby and I were in the store yesterday, picking up a couple of things before the young people's gathering. We walked out of the store and she said, Dad, we talk to a lot of people when we go to the store. Yeah, baby, we do. Why? Because we have a big smile on our face. Because they see the light of God in us, in you. We're not walking around grumbling and mumbling and cussing. That little light that we do carry with us is seen by others, and they want to talk to us. They don't want to talk to that person that's talking to their armpit or growling or complaining to somebody in a store because they didn't have this or they didn't. No. They want to talk to that man and that young girl who have a smile on their face and a joy in their heart. I'm not perfect and I'm not raising Libby or myself up, but it was a great example. It was a great learning tool that took place. You know what, Melissa? I didn't bring any. I can always count on you. Thank you. Slothfulness creates envy, and the Holy Spirit doesn't carry that to you. No, it doesn't. What does the Holy Spirit bring to you? The Word of God, right? Which is the truth. Do you believe that? I do. That's part of that work that you have to do. You have to believe. Are you willing to believe? John 17. Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also shall also may glorify thee. Isn't that what we should do each and every day, right? That's a task we have in our lives, is to glorify our Father, our Heavenly Father. We can walk around all day and talk about God or use his name in vain, and that's God in conversation or whatever, but is that glorifying God? Are the actions we take when we face one another, are they actions that glorify God? Libby and I going through the store with smiles on our faces, a joy in our heart, glorifies God. I'm sure you all do that too, but it's the example I'm using. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. These are the disciples. These are our disciples. Are you a disciple? I think that question was asked. I think, was it you, Steve, that brought up the disciples? Someone has brought up the disciples. Are you a disciple? That struck me. I'm a disciple. I want to be a disciple. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do you believe? Is it in your heart and your mind every day that Jesus Christ was sent here for a reason? By God. He came here and he glorified God, the Heavenly Father. God gave him men and women, disciples, to follow him. And everything God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to them. Guess what? Everything God gave to Jesus, Jesus gives to you. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be ones. Excuse me, let me start that over. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas Iscariot. It had to be. It absolutely had to be, or else it wasn't fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joyful, that they might have my full, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're a peculiar people, right? We're a peculiar people. I'm telling you, I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, I don't. People look at you and walk away. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be Christ-like. Christ was hated because why? Because he came to preach the word of God, truth and love and peace. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Pray to God and he takes that adversary away every time. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We are told we must take it to the world. Right? We cannot be afraid to go out into the world and show our light. And when questioned about our light, share, witness. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How did we get the word? How did we get Jesus' word? Not directly from him. Jesus is praying for us every day. He is. He prayed for the disciples he was given then and the disciples he is given now. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. And I put a little note there. Jesus wants us with him. He wants us to have eternal life. He's not talking about those disciples following him around. Right then, at that time, he's talking about us. He's talking about those who believe, those who follow Jesus Christ's commandments. He wants you to be with him and his Father. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus came for you. He called you and you answered. I see two here that are not baptized. The rest of you answered the call. You made a covenant, right? You entered the waters of baptism. You answered the call. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, or are you not? You're free to choose. Jesus calls you a disciple, a friend, and wants you to be close to him and his Father. John 15. What better than a man? Where is it? Right here. I love this. I love that verse. I gotta find it. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ died for you and me. Do you have friends that will lay down their life for you? Are you a friend that would lay down their life for another? We know what we must do and what we must not do because Jesus gave us God's Word. The Word is the truth. Jesus prayed and prays for us so the world won't have rule over us. And that's what we need to do for those who decide not to be here. We can't force them to be here. Larry had a wonderful, wonderful sermon. Send him a note. Shoot him a text. You know? Ken Vick the other day, I shot him a text. Took him a day, but he texted me back. And he said things were good, things were busy, and he's been going to the temple a lot again. Awesome. Jeff mentioned reaching out. That's what we do. We can't stress. I know it's in us. We love them. We want them here. But those stresses and worries will allow the adversary in. We have to focus on what God wants us to do and be healthy ourselves. And always remember, back to Mosiah chapter 2, 20th verse. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. We must remain steadfast in our own faith. If we get caught up in who's not here or what's going on in the world, we are taken away from our Heavenly Father. We are drug away from Jesus Christ's Word, His commandments. God and Jesus, they're the greatest, most perfect, and precious things you'll ever know. Do you think about that? I know too many people that see a car, a TV, a thing as the greatest goal in their life. I still love them, but you know what? I'll pray for them. And I guarantee the example that is set by doing what you know is right is going to have more of an impact on them than pointing your finger. Because they're going to be looking at those three fingers pointed right back at you. Human nature. I didn't grow up till I was 30, you know. And before that, whenever anybody told me to do something or that something was wrong, I went right out, straightway, and did it. Same thing. You tell somebody they're not doing something that's right or they should be doing something else, they're going to turn away from you. Nobody tells me what to do. I'll do what I want. Right? John 15, starting at verse 26, reading 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Are you with God? Is God with you? Are you witnessing to others that you are one with God and Jesus? what it said in John 17. Jesus was telling God, I am with you, and I want my disciples to be with me and you. Isn't that the goal at the end of the day for each one of us? To have that desire to be with Jesus and our Heavenly Father? Are you sharing the Holy Spirit, the gifts and blessings you receive every day? Are you? I probably don't enough. Just food for thought. The sermons of lately have made me think a lot about this body. We're here. And I know from recent experiences that stress and worry only open the door for the adversary, and he will wreak havoc on you. You pray for those people. You reach out to those people. But please, 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 your spiritual health is more important to them, and they don't know it yet, but they will. But as a body, I hope and pray that we don't waver. And I just felt that the messages of lately have been, that God has been pointing out to us, maybe that we are the ones that are wavering. And that if we get healthy again, these pews will start filling up again.